Welcome back to Shoujo, the not just a recap anime podcast. We talk about stuff too and provide opinions and thoughts. I'm your host, Sarah, as always, joined by the magnificent Joe that puts the Joe in Shoujo. And we're showing Joe Shoujo anime, hence the name. We're back with some more Rose of Versailles coverage. And before we get to that, let's catch up, Gal Pal, right after Galentine's Day. Is the day before Thanksgiving? No, the day before Valentine's Day always like Galentine's Day?
Or what? Is it I don't know what this is.
Galentine's. I just feel like all the events
with your girlfriends.
That's what I thought too, but I feel like I saw a bunch of Galentine events, but they all were not on Valentine's Day.
See, that's a cop out, right? Because it's like Galentine's Day is supposed to be you hanging out with your girlfriends when you don't have a Valentine, right?
Yeah. But
if you make it inclusive that everybody, including people and couples, can do it, it negates the entire point.
That's right. Ugh. You did you do anything?
I don't know. What's the femme version of bros before hoes? What's the
chicks before dicks?
There you go. See, I feel like people are not adhering to the code if you're going to Galentine's Day days before.
Well, if that's the day that it's all, I went to a singles thing on Thursday. It was quite fun. I went with some coworkers of mine.
What'd you do?
It was like this. I think it was hosted by some shitty dating app, but because it's like, ooh, make a profile, get a free drink.
Oh God!
And the name of the app is called like First Rounds on Me or something, which I'm like, oh good lord. But the event itself was nice. It was in like this multi-story place that had different bars on each story. And it was fun just because I, don't hang out with my coworkers much outside of work. So just and talking about like something other than work, you know,
so
hype each other up. And one of my coworkers, he's a pretty good wingman. Too bad, like, I didn't realize he was trying to wingman me. So I had like wandered off and then he was like, meet my friend Sarah. And then Sarah wasn't there.
Yeah, well, so this seems like an interesting, I don't know, how do you hang out with your coworkers at a dating event? Because isn't the whole point you're supposed to be talking to other people?
I know. Well, no, basically it was like three of us. It was two dudes. So I was like, don't leave me with one of you because then I'm not going to be approachable. But basically we just chatted and hyped each other up and we all took turns kind of just like doing laps. And
did you talk to anybody?
Yeah, someone talked to me.
That it went that well, huh?
Well, I was mostly, I don't know. I just feel like it's easier. All girls are just so much more stylish than boys, aren't they? I was like, gosh, her outfit's so cute. And I was more so.
Yeah, I complain about this all the time.
Like, yes, looking.
The fashion options for guys are terrible. And they're closing all the Joann's near me.
No.
All of them.
How are you supposed to solve the fashion problem if they don't let you buy materials?
I'm saying bullshit.
Oh no.
So this app, what's the gimmick?
Well, I wish I could tell you because it like isn't working. But it does seem interesting because it seems to have like a feature where if you like coordinate a date while you're in the app, it like has an in-app calendar to log those things, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
But I don't know. It wasn't working, so I uninstalled it. I got my free drink. And I also complimented this one guy on his sweet dance moves, and he, I guess, worked for them, so I got a second drink token. So I got two free drinks.
Wow.
Yeah. He was on the job probably, so he had to make it look like it was fun by dancing so well, but I was impressed. Did you do anything for the day of love and all that?
No.
No.
I didn't do anything. Yeah. That was Friday. I played a bunch of Civ 6. I haven't played Civ 7 yet because I don't know if I want to buy it for $70 because that's way more money than I want to spend on anything. So I just played Civ 6
again. Will it ever go on sale?
Oh, yeah. It, like, Civ goes on sale all the time.
Okay. Yeah, I don't love. No, Monitor, why did you? Monitor fell asleep on me or something.
Wow.
No, I can't see you, but you're boring. Still there.
Yeah, so I just played some stuff. What else did I do? Did I do anything else? No, not really. I went to Joanne's, didn't buy anything because I didn't know what I needed. I was going to go today, but now it's snowing today, so I don't know if I'm going to go today. We'll see. I'm running out of time to go and buy a bunch of fabric patterns that I won't know what to do with.
I bought one once and then, yeah, never did anything with it.
See, you got to commit. I have sewed before, so I could do it again. I just need to like come up with something I want to actually do. I guess I watched some anime. Let's see. What did I watch? I'm watching. I picked up Hunter x Hunter again, so I'm watching a little bit of that.
Is it carried on or you just stopped at a certain point?
Yeah, well, I'm watching with some friends and we kept watching other stuff instead. And now we're just we can pick this up again. I have 20 episodes of Chimera Ant arc left. Say is one of the best arcs and it is incredibly boring.
Because I was on a chat on Twitch and they were talking about how they were doing their yearly Hunter x Hunter watch or something. And I was like, yeah, I stopped at Chimera Ants. And they're like, what do you mean? It's like the last arc and everything. So I guess
it's not the last. There's an arc after it.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah. It's also not finished. So there could be more stuff come. But yeah, it's still the worst paced show I've ever watched. normally, I watch Gundam and stuff. And those are all 50 episodes. And usually by the end of it, I'm like, you probably could have gotten rid of 10 of those episodes and lost nothing. But I didn't dislike those 10 episodes. You know what I mean? Because it felt like stuff was still kind of happening, even if it wasn't that relevant. That's kind of the average of the amount you can get rid of. But with Hunter x Hunter, I'm a full 50% of this arc could have been cut out. Chimera Ant is 2/3 you probably could have gotten rid of and it would have been better for it. Because, boy, I watched 6 episodes, basically the length of a feature length film, and basically nothing had happened the whole time. And it's incredible to me that people hype this up as one of the best shonen shows of all time. Nothing happens for most of it. It's crazy. But who knows? Maybe the end will be so good, I'll just forget about all of the parts where nothing happened for hours and hours.
Is that ever the case? Okay, no. Maybe the shows I watch are never where it's I just never come back to see the ending that could justify the rest of it.
Sometimes that's true. I remember when I watched Vodums for the first time, it really drags in the middle and then you get to the end and you're like, well, this is the coolest shit ever. But if you remember how boring the middle arc, the fake Vietnam arc was a little bit too long, that you're just like, oh yeah, right. Gotta trudge through that again. So it does happen sometimes, usually not to this extent. I'm usually not in this bad of an opinion about it for it to be able to recover. But who knows? Maybe it is the greatest shonen arc of all time in the last 20 episodes exclusively.
It's just ant things, right? I need my nice to look at anime people, not anime ants.
Yeah, they introduce all these ants, and I'm like, dude, I don't care about all these ants and their dumb politics and their opinions about things. Literally, who cares? They're just whatever bad guys. It'd be like the bad guys in Dragon Ball Z are goofy little weirdos.
I'm sure.
It'd be
Pink
like instead
Abu
of
or whatever.
Yeah, instead of just hanging out with them for a little bit and being like, look at how weird they are. We got 30 episodes where they talk about their intentions and what they want and their relationships with each other, and then they all just get owned in one single fight, so none of that mattered. That happens multiple times in Hunter x Hunter, and I am astounded that we spent so much time with these characters that just get owned very easily.
Did you watch or read Yu Yu Hakusho?
Yes, a long
did
time
you like
ago,
that
so I don't
series?
Really remember.
Because that's the same author, right?
Yeah. I mean, I liked that, I think. Okay. I haven't rewatched it, so who knows?
I know there's a pretty guy with red hair, so I'm I kind of want to watch it. I've only watched maybe the first 10 episodes, but
that one's got a really good tournament arc.
That's what I've heard. I just the slicked back hair. Bleh.
But yeah, so I've been watching that. I'm still going. Almost done. I only got I have 48 episodes left. There's so much. It's a whole season of an old show.
Oh, okay. Dang. I got your work cut out for you. Speaking of good shonen arcs, I was at Half Price yesterday and got like a bunch of Bleach volumes. I'm at the point now, because I used to be like, I'm just only if I have the I'm at the point where I'm buying complete series just because it's like, oh, the bulk of it is here and super cheap. So I'll just somehow find the rest of the missing volumes later. And so I bought volumes 15 through 27 and it just they didn't have volume 20. But yeah, and it was like $50 for that many volumes. It was a good deal.
Yeah, it's good. I read it all through the app, so.
Yeah, I know. For real need another bookshelf. It's bad.
My Bleach opinions, I think, are known on this podcast.
Yes, I know. I'm like, but now that I know it gets like dumb at some point. Or like, I don't know, is there bad Bleach manga? I like bought this series not knowing. And now I have this series that if I want to complete it, it's going to include bad arcs.
It's not bad. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just kind it's of just like, it's fine. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, it's not hitting on, like, that first arc is really firing on all cylinders in a way that's, like, very impressive. And these other ones are just kind of like a generic shonen arc.
Okay.
But with characters that you like, so it's probably fun. You know what I mean?
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I already bought it. It's, there's no, I do have a receipt, but there's no going back. And maybe
you'll like it.
Yeah. Yes. Let's see. I finished Life is Strange Double Exposure.
Oh, all right. Okay.
It's fine. I just, this keeps being the case where it's like, I just keep hoping and then hopes aren't met. And then it's like, okay, it was okay. It was fine. Fine game.
What were you hoping it was going to do?
Choices matter in a game where the whole thing is making choices, maybe. And then also like there's romantic interest and now it feels like the secondary. I mean, I went with the main option they gave me, but now I'm like, oh, the second option doesn't even feel like an option now. Why did you even give it to me? And I don't, I just because it's like at the time, it's like, okay, it was kind of like a different game. So I'll like let it fail at certain things it tries because it was small and this and that, but they like brought it back and, you know, you just hope that it's brought back to be better, but that is not the case. I mean, it's less cringy, less cringe high school stuff. They don't say hella like they do in the first one, so that's a win. yeah, it was okay. Let's see. I'm almost done reading through my Claymore manga. That's been pretty good. It's definitely interesting to see like how quickly. Cause that's like a bunch of action scenes. So I'm just like going through that book so fast. But then I read something like Toilet Bound Hanako-kun and it's like takes, and the books are way skinnier, but it takes so much longer to like read through that one. Cause there's so much more dialogue.
Right.
But liking it, I have like two volumes left. It's interesting because basically all the characters have the same features where it's all like pale and all the same color, so like they're really having to do like very detailed things to make each character different because there's so many characters. So lots of good hairstyles in that show because they have to rely on that a lot, to personal styling, to differentiate all these very similar
Are they all claymores, is that why?
Yeah
Because that's like a, I mean, I guess if you don't know, they're like a military order or something.
They're like half human, half demon. And so when they take in like the demon blood or whatever, it like alters their appearance. And so they like lose all the color basically in them.
And they basically have like a uniform, right? That's kind of how they all look the same.
Yeah. There's like slight differences.
That makes it hard.
In that. But yeah. But yeah, I am enjoying. I like the character more. I just remember thinking they were cool. Like, I don't, it's not like the plot premise was cool, but like, I just remember things seeming cool. And that's why I remember the anime so much. And, it's definitely, yeah, I'm enjoying it, I guess. Oh, I can give final thoughts after I finish it, but
yeah.
Nice short, you know, not many shonen that end in 27 volumes, or at least not anymore. Ugh. Or maybe It's just the ones that are popular are the ones that go on forever. And so it seems like there's only so many short ones, but it's actually just that for some reason we all want never ending stories that go on longer, that allow for more failure opportunities.
That's the business model. When you're releasing week to week, it's nice to not have to start over.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I guess. Anything else on?
No, there's like stuff I'm like almost finished watching that I don't really want to talk about now because I'm like, I might as well just finish this before I say stuff about it. So.
Oh, I guess Invincible season 3 came out on Amazon. It's been okay. It's just like a weird series where things feel scattered.
Mm.
But man, yeah, I guess it's, I don't know. Is that the nature of things based off graphic novels and comics, is that it's not the most continuous, or we jump around a lot? Because
I don't know. I've never like watched any Invincible because it just seems like it's going to be a bummer.
It's so
and like
graphic.
And like, so, yeah, I'm like burnt out on like, what if superheroes were like brutal
punching through people's chests?
And everybody was like, it's realistic, which means like, what if they were all assholes? I'm like, yeah, I know what that would be like. Like, that's not, that doesn't interest me in any way. I'm just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's just I can just watch like a mob movie. You know what I mean? Like, I can just watch anything. Like, them being superheroes does nothing for me at that point. So, I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. It's also teenagers, which I'm like, yeah, just like, I remember being a teenager, but I'm like, I just feel like I don't like teenage characters because they're brats.
Yeah.
And then I'm supposed to sympathize with them as a protagonist, but I'm also like, I don't know, you kind of suck right now. And like, and then I'm like at odds with the plot, and then I'll be dissatisfied or something. Yeah. We can get into
this. All right, we covered three episodes. There's gonna be
more teenage stuff. Yeah,
there's gonna be a lot. I hope you're ready for some teenagers because we're about to get some teenage or stuff, I guess. Actually, I guess everyone's 18.
Oh, they're on the brink of being,
But we'll start.
Some of us are mentally a child still, so
okay,
there's that.
All right, we'll get to that. Let's see. But this time we have more voice actors. We have Axel von Fersen is voiced by Katsunosuke Hori, who plays a bunch of old men and stuff. So he is the old man in Paprika. He's also an old man in Tokyo Ghoul. And he's Fu, the old ninja guy in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. You remember that?
Okay. Yeah.
The one from fake China. Yeah.
I guess this is just when he was young.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, naturally, he would play old men as he got old. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He played Charles Xavier in like an anime thing of X-Men in 2011 that I never heard of. And for me, he's also General Revel in Mobile Suit Gundam, the movie. Yeah. You know,
I need a Gundam word counter on our podcast.
Such a hater. I didn't even talk about it like before this point. Let's see. Madame Dewberry is voiced by Ryoko Kinomiya. She is Queen Promethea in Galaxy Express 999, because I guess they just lifted a bunch of the cast from that. They're just like, hey, come join this thing.
It.
Did the director like direct that before or something? Maybe that's something.
Is that older than this?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's like significantly older, but I think it's...
Maybe this it's came just out, a matter of like, there's no internet. Just tell me who you've worked with before and give me their phone number or something.
So Galaxy Express came out in 1979. I guess it's the same time because that's when this came out too, right? Yeah, 1979, same year.
The same studio or something. And
yeah, it's probably something like that. It's just like there have been a lot of them, which is pretty fun. Hold on, something like that. So. She's also the voice of Susie Q in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, a show I've never seen, but know things about, I guess. She's also the narrator in a lot of different stuff. Like she was a narrator in Gintama. She's a narrator in a lot of other shows I hadn't heard of. And she's also Anya Mifune, the mom of Speed Racer in Speed Racer. So there we go.
Okay. I've only seen the dub VHS, but.
Ah, yes. Well. We're gonna send Dewberry off this episode.
So it'll be the last we see of her. All right. So
wait, forever?
What, in episode 9?
I think I watched it, right?
Did you not watch episode 9?
No, I swear to God I did. Wait, okay. I did, I think.
Did you not watch it?
I think I did.
A big thing happens. Do you know what the big thing that happens in episode 9 is?
Okay. The injury. There's an injury.
That's episode 8.
Fuck. Wait, I watched 3 episodes? I swear to God. I think. Oh my God!
I feel like the fact that you don't know off the top of your head the thing that happened in episode 9 means you didn't watch it.
Yeah, I know. I can't look at your notes because now my other monitor's turned off. I
can't. Okay.
And that's my main monitor.
Well, we'll get to it, and I guess we'll just pause and record after you watch it.
Okay.
There's no way you would know this. You would instantly know this.
I thought it. Okay.
The sun rises, the sun sets, or the sun sets, the sun rises. That's the name of the episode. Nothing. What do we think the sun setting could mean?
I'm assuming you're saying that Madame Du Barry dies.
No.
No, okay, we're talking about the emperor.
Yes, the king dies.
The smallpox. In episode 9. Did he, like, die?
Sarah.
I thought we'd just see he gets smallpox. I don't remember.
Did you watch the whole episode? Did you watch the end of the episode?
Was it like a post-credit thing or something?
No, he dies in the middle of the episode. Okay, all right. Well, we'll talk about it when we get there, because it sounds like maybe you watched it, but maybe you watched it out of like the corner of your eye or while watching Love Island or something. I don't know.
No,
so,
that's not true.
Maybe we'll just see. I feel like...
Shit!
I feel like you would know this. Anyway, what? Episode 7, which we definitely both watched, is called Who Wrote the Love Letter? We open on a montage of Prince Louis the 16th in his forge. A voiceover tells us that Prince Louis neglects his wife and is a husband in name only, as the OP plays. When we get back, we cut to Marie trying to sneak out of the palace without anybody noticing her. Unfortunately, Lady Oscar just appears out of nowhere from like behind a pillar, which is a thing she's just going to do constantly, and asks Marie if she's skipping her classes. And Marie is like, yeah, they're like super boring. I don't want to go to them. Who cares? And then she's like, hey, Oscar, teach me how to ride a horse. But Oscar tells her that it's much too dangerous and that the prince would never allow it. And Marie says that he probably wouldn't even care because he doesn't even like pay attention to her or anything. I feel like I should wait a moment because I feel like you're going to comment on the next thing, but you are currently gone. So I'm just going to fill time instead. What is so dangerous about riding a horse? I mean, I've ridden a horse. It's not that dangerous. It's not like I'm instantly going to die.
You ever heard the story of Superman?
Superman?
Superman.
Like being sent from Krypton?
The actor. What? No, the actor. He like fell off his horse. The one from the 70s.
Oh. No.
I'll try to see if I've watched.
Okay, don't worry about it. We'll just get to it when we get there.
I'm very worried.
I don't think you should walk away from the podcast we're currently recording to go look it up.
I guess I didn't. I didn't finish the episode. Oh, no. Okay.
You didn't finish it? Oh, my God. Don't leave.
Okay. I'm coming back. I'm coming back.
This would never happen if she was also making a summary, you know? Because when you make a summary, I had to watch it twice, so.
Oops. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what
you can
happened.
Have a candid reaction to what I tell you happens in the episode, then.
okay.
That'll be fun. It'll be like a new little sequence.
Okay, I got to pay attention to what you're saying now.
Yeah, imagine. Okay, so getting back to the summary of episode 7. Oscar and Marie go to Prince Louis's forge. He's surprised that she's there, and Marie scolds him for ignoring her, and he's like, yeah, but like, I've been super busy. And then he tries to make up to her by giving her an enormous heart-shaped lock and then immediately running away.
I told you he was going to make a lock.
It's so
big. And then
big.
Give her the key to his heart. Yeah, it's huge.
It's like the size of a purse. It must be extremely heavy.
She picked it up and checked it, though.
That's true. She throws the lock down and calls after him, asking if he even likes her. We
so
got to
count- you think they have consummated their marriage?
Maybe not. I don't think so. I think maybe he just said that they did and they just didn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
He just immediately went to bed.
Oh, man.
Let's see. We cut to Count Mercy scolding Marie for making a scene. He's like, this will start rumors if it seems like you guys are having marital problems. Also, the prince is like super sensitive, so don't be like mean to him. And Marie does not care about this advice. We jump to Madame Du Barry and her associate, who I just referenced as the associate because I don't know if we ever get her name.
Nah, she's not important.
Yeah. They're talking about Louis and Marie's, I guess, troubled marriage. They scheme to somehow use this to their advantage, and her associate comes up with a devious plan. We move to Prince Louis and Oscar on another fox hunt. I guess he just does this all the time. Oscar's like nodding off.
They say it's his hobby. I'm like, we just saw the last one. You can't make me believe he enjoys doing that. It's like one of his main things that he's avoiding his wife by doing.
Oscar is like constantly nodding off in this episode. It's really funny. So she's like about to fall asleep, and then Prince Louis decides to confide with her. He tells her that Marie is just so pretty, he doesn't know what to say, but he's like, but I love her so dearly. And Oscar listens and tells him that she won't tell anybody, so like, don't worry about it, bud. And she feels bad for him as they go back to the hunt. No advice for him. Oscar's got nothing. She's like, I'm about to take a nap.
Narcolepsy's real, my dude.
This fox hunt is so boring. Shooting foxes at point blank range does not interest me.
I can imagine not. I would think she'd have a bone to pick with the honor of it, or, you know, like, you didn't work for it, really, kind of.
Oh, I don't think she's impressed by this at all.
No.
I think she's just, yeah. Pretty phoning it in. She's kind of phoning it in this episode. Back at the palace, Prince Louis gives Marie 6 dead foxes from the hunt. Her ladies in waiting all fawn over the gift, while Marie is just like, whatever. They recommend clothing items that can be made from the fur. And Marie's like, I have, like, 100 muffs and like 89 capes and like 30 shawls. I don't need any of it. I don't care.
Unimpressed.
But then one of the ladies in waiting mentions that like there's a masquerade ball coming up, and if she like wore all this fur, she could look like a Cossack. And she's like, a masquerade ball.
I will say, fur is back. I feel like when I was out the other night, I kept being like, why are all these chicks wearing fake fur jackets?
Oh, really? Like colored?
Yes.
Like brown? Oh.
Yeah.
It's not even like the white thing? Okay.
No. All sorts. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, that's weird. Late at night, Oscar's mom fetches Oscar for Marie. Marie has decided to sneak off to the masquerade ball in town and is waiting in her carriage. And she's like, come with me, Oscar. And Oscar's like, you can't go to this. We didn't get permission. But Marie says, it's fine. It's a masquerade ball. Nobody will know who it is. I'm wearing a mask. That's like the whole point. She asks Oscar to go with
mask.
Her. Yeah. And Oscar says, no way. That's crazy. And then Marie just drives off. She's like, whatever. And just goes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny. Oscar needs to not be so uptight.
Yeah. Also, Maria is your superior. She gets to throw her weight around and do what she wants.
Yeah. Although it turns out if she ever gets hurt in any way, you could just get killed next episode. Yep. We learn that. So yep, I understand, baby. We cut to the ball. It's at an opera house. Oscar is there looking pissed while Marie dances with some guys. Oscar's not wearing a mask. Oh, I forget last scene.
Okay. Oscar is just wearing her
full
royal
uniform.
Guard. So it's like, well, people could put the pieces together. Someone from the royal guards here. That must mean a royal is here. Like,
well, people don't seem to recognize her. I don't think people like get to see who the royal guard is because they're always at Versailles.
I guess.
Maybe.
That's true.
Maybe. They probably just think she's some military officer.
Yeah. Anyway, also, you're saying the last scene.
Yeah, in the last scene, there's a really funny scene where Oscar's like, you can't go to this masquerade ball. I hear all kinds of rabble is there, like merchants and actors. Which is extremely funny. Marie's dancing with some guys. In the distance, she spies a very handsome man and is overwhelmed by how his beauty that she goes to the balcony to get some air. She's like, holy shit, that
handsome.
Guy was hot.
Yeah, he is. So many sparkles. It's insane.
He comes up behind her and asks her to dance. Oscar has nodded off again, but looks up to see Marie and that guy talking on the balcony. He removes her mask to see her face and is captured by her beauty. And Oscar is like, well, that's bad. So she walks up and holds the hilt of her sword in front of him. She demands that he state his name and rank. And he's like, you first. And she tells him that she's Oscar, captain of the Royal Guard. And he's like, well, that's cool. I'm Hans Axel von Fersen. I'm a count from Sweden. Oscar's like, all right, well, if you want to talk to Marie, you can make an appointment at the palace because, like, she's the princess of France. And Fersen's like, holy shit, she's the princess of France?
No wonder she's so hot.
He kisses her hand, and Marie is super into it. Oscar scowls and is like, all right, we're done here. And they go to leave. A voice, while they're leaving, a voice tells us that one, Marie is 18 now, so we've done another time skip. And two, this marks the moment of an historic affair as her carriage pulls off. So I guess we'll see how this goes.
Well, it can only go well.
It can only go well. We come back to Madame Dewberry. She trash talks Marie to her ladies. One of them comes into the room and says that Count Fersen's visiting again. And like a lot of her like buds go to see him because everybody loves him. But that leaves Dewberry and her associate to scheme. We cut to Fersen kissing Marie's hand again. He's hanging out with all the ladies today and is very charming. Oscar and Andre watch this from behind a pillar where they just hang out behind pillars. Oscar asks Andre if Marie seems different to him, and Andre is like, I don't know, not really, he kind of seems the same. And Oscar is relieved because that means that Marie is not being super obvious about liking Fersen, even though I feel like anybody can piece this together.
And Andre hasn't picked up on it, so no one just else like, would have.
The men have not paid attention. Andre asks if that Oscar noticed because of Lady's intuition, and then she just kind of winces at him, and he corrects himself, saying that Oscar is a man amongst men, and Oscar tells him it's not a joke, and if anybody else notices that they're having an affair, this could be like a huge problem. She tells Andre to watch Marie carefully as they so they can head off any rumors. Later that night, Ghirardelli is patrolling the grounds. He sees Madame Dewberry incognito leave the palace, and he tails her and sees that she and her associate are meeting with a shady man with an eye with a monocle. He's a monocle.
Love a monocle.
They hire this guy to forge a letter from Marie Antoinette. It's the next day and they have the letter because they paid him like a gajillion dollars to get it done in one night. The associate plants it in the hallway so that two ladies will just happen upon it. She just leaves it in the middle of the floor in a hallway. And it's like, they'll run right into it.
I guess it's supposed to be outside the door.
Yeah. Oscar's mom walks through a door that's right there and sees the letter. She picks it up and sees it's from Marie and then hides it from the others. And the associate is like, oh no, how could this have happened? Later that day, Fersen's riding his horse. He sees Oscar, who beckons him over. She's like, hey, what the hell is this? And she hands him his letter. He's like, she's like, if anybody saw this, this could be a huge scandal. And he's like, what is this? She tells him it's Marie's reply to him. And he's like, reply? What are you talking about? He reads the letter and tells Oscar he has no idea what this is. And Oscar is like, how dare you deny Marie's feelings? Not only are you what not keeping you it want, secret, you're Oscar? Also being a dick.
You want him to have done it or not? Yeah.
Yeah, this is so funny. She's like, first you're like gonna get her in trouble, and now you're like besmirching her honor. How dare you? First, it's like, whoa, hey, I've never written her a love letter. I don't know what this is. And they just like stare each other down for a long time. While staring each other down, Andre and Ghirardelli rush to them and tell Oscar that it's a forgery and that Ghirardelli knows who made it. We cut to the forger's house. They find him inside, but he's dead. He's been stabbed with a big dagger.
I know.
Classic dead guy.
Well, we see a little. You know, obviously a body in a bed with a little like tent being pitched in under the covers. I was like, this could go one of two ways. sorry.
They find a draft of the letter in the house so they can confirm that it's a forgery. But with no witnesses, they can't pin it on anybody. Suddenly, a Molotov cocktail flies through the window, lighting the building on fire. The doors are also all barricaded, so they can't, like, escape through the regular doors, and they have to jump out of a three-story window into the canal.
Ghirardelli is a witness. Is he not, like, reputable enough to be the witness?
I think it's like a...
Or he couldn't tell who it was.
He couldn't tell who it was. Like, it would just be him saying that it was Dewberry, and Dewberry would say, no, it's not, and that's the end of the trial. Let's see. We cut to Dewberry's associate dying from poison as Dewberry watches, because that's her. She poisoned another one.
This is very brief, just like, there's that donezo.
Yeah, it's because it's like it's them saying that, like, without any witnesses, we have no case. And then we cut to the associate dying, getting rid of all of the witnesses possible. Later, Dewberry runs into Oscar, Andre, and Ghirardelli. She's like, hey, Oscar. And Oscar tells her about yesterday. She's like, there was a fire in a building. And Dewberry is like, well, that's scary. But also, what's that got to do with me? And then Oscar shows her the fake letter. She's like, we found this fake letter in that place. And again, DuBarry's like, that's crazy. What does that have to do with me? And Oscar says it has nothing to do with you, and it better not have anything to do with you in the future. She starts to walk past her, but stops and says that she will protect Marie from any conspiracies with her life as DuBarry glances back at her. We end on a scene of Marie and Ferson platonically enjoying some harp music in the garden while Oscar stands in the distance, rose petals blowing in the wind.
Sexual tension. Could be cut in half. It's crazy.
No. They're just sitting next to each other. It's fine. Everyone's keeping their hands to themselves. There's plenty of room for Jesus. It's okay. Oscar thinks that Marie's emotions are too pure and that many people will try to use that against her. And she prays that nothing will happen as we cut to credits.
I feel like men, or at least in this show, they're so dumb and don't pay attention to anything that women are doing. Women could just be so, like, you know, they can do whatever they want. It's just other women they have to worry about ratting them out. This is the problem.
Yeah.
Just work That's together, all the guys ladies. Are
hanging out with each other and, like, cheating on their wives or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're busy.
But, like, I'm sure the wife knows that they're cheating on them, but the dude has no clue, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
at least 100%. The buffoons being depicted in this series.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we haven't really talked about, like, the amount of sexism present in the palace.
Mm.
But, I mean, you know, I
just assume
most of the time you get a wife because they're pretty. They're like a thing for you to look at.
Yeah. Yes. You don't even have to talk to them to love them. Just. She's so beautiful.
I mean, freaking Prince Louis being like, oh, I love my life so much. I can't interact with her. It's like,
yeah.
I don't think you know what that word means, man. I think you're just saying that.
Yep.
Mercy has to be like, no. He's just a sensitive boy. He's being totally normal.
Goodness.
How do we like Ferson? This is our first full Ferson episode. He's here.
Well, because our introduction to him is him like going through Harris like outskirts and seeing how shitty it is and calling it out, and so it's like at first it's like, okay, he knows what's up, he's gonna be like a good guy, but now he's just like, you know, flirting with a married woman. I don't know how to feel about him. I mean, not that like,
yeah,
well, because it's not like we're seeing it be like, oh, you know, Marie Antoinette being like, man, it sucks being ignored by the person who's supposed to love me, blah, blah, blah. And then him being like, oh, this poor girl is so wonderful. She deserves to be blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what I'm just assuming he's 18, right? He's just a dumb boy.
Yeah, I think he's just hanging out.
Yeah. What do you think of him? Axel, that's a funny name. I think
it's very funny that everybody thinks he's so charming when he's just like being a guy. He's just like,
it's just
making little jokes.
Slight intelligence makes him a league above the rest of his peers.
Like he's hot and he just hangs out with them, and that's like the thing that sets him above everybody else, because yeah, like, mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, all the guys just ignore their wives and stuff.
Yes. I feel like it'd be very easy to win a woman's affections because it's just set up to be, this is marriage where you don't talk to each other, so it'd be very easy to just like weasel your way in there with the slightest attention.
It's odd because it seems like up to this point, everything's been like gender segregated, right? Because it's like, well, this is the part where all the women hang out and this is the part where all the men go somewhere, right? But so clearly they could just hang out with each other.
Yeah, since no one's making like, a fuss could about just show it. Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like there's really no problem with it. It's just, you know, men don't give a shit about what the women are doing because as long as they're not like having sex with them or whatever, they don't really care.
Yeah, I guess so.
Brutal. Prince Louis is not going to make it.
Nah.
Gives her a locket in the shape of a heart, and it's enormous, and he's like, do you like this? And she's like, no, I don't like this.
Oh, he just runs away, so like, he like twiddles his thumbs, literally, where he like, if he talks about her, he's just pushing his little thumbs together talking, and meek as can
be. No confidence in himself.
So, and how are the people supposed to have confidence that he can run the country?
Well, let me tell you, it doesn't go great for him.
Good. Yes.
Yeah. All right. We want to go to the next one?
Yeah. All the sparkles in this one.
Episode 8 is called The Oscar of My Heart, which is an incredible name for an episode. We open on Oscar slapping Andre. He demands to know what he did wrong, and Oscar tells him that she never wants to see his face again, and then she rides off as he calls after her. And then suddenly, Andre wakes up because this was a nightmare. It turns out he fell asleep in the stables as the OP plays. After the opening, we see Andre talk to a horse about how he's anxious that one day Oscar won't need him, and she will cast him aside. All of a sudden, Oscar comes in and is like, Andre, did you fall asleep in the stables? Don't blame me if you get sick. And then she takes her horse out and leaves, and Andre wonders if she'll still need him in the future. We cut to Marie and Fersen hanging out in the garden. All the ladies love him. He, like, says little jokes and stuff. It's great. He picks a rose for her. They stare at each other's eyes for a little too long.
Scandal.
Andre and Oscar look on as Oscar hopes that nothing bad will happen from this, because, you know, not being subtle at all. No. Andre comments that Oscar is only thinking about Marie. It's like she's her nanny or something. And Oscar's like, what? Why are you acting weird? And he's like, it's nothing. Don't worry about it.
Jealous.
And Oscar tells him that men shouldn't sigh like that. And Andre wonders if Oscar only thinks about Marie because he's really going through it this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you hate it when, like, the girl you like who is dedicated to guarding another chick just watches her, like, person she's guarding flirt with some dude for like 6 hours a day?
I mean, I'm trying to think. It doesn't seem like Oscar, and it always has seemed like Andre pokes fun at Oscar, and then Oscar just being dead serious, like dismissing the jokes, has been their entire rapport up to this point, slash punching each other, I guess. So I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. That like the time not spent doing that, it doesn't seem like they had the most familiar relationship. Or like,
oh, I mean, I think they do have the most familiar relationship out of everybody in the show.
I get, well, that is a very low bar. So
like, I think the problem, well, I guess we'll get into this a little more the episode goes on, but like, Andre wants to flirt with Oscar but doesn't know how, because he needs to treat her like a man, and also she's his superior.
Yeah.
Which makes everything really awkward, which is why, well, I think most think of what he does he knows is just that like
that's his
jokes.
Intention? He acknowledge his feelings?
No, I think he's still in, like, at the end of this. I mean, we'll see what he says. But yeah, so I think it's a little, he's trying to create familiarity, and that's like the way he feels like he can do it, even though it's not necessarily the most effective.
Yes. Yeah.
Marie sees Madame Dewberry riding a horse and gets jealous. Later that night, she demands that she be able to ride a horse. Her mentor, Countess Noyles, is like, that's super dangerous. We could never allow that. We cut to the Countess talking to Prince Louis in his forge. She tells him that he needs to put his foot down about Marie riding a horse. She needs to not ride a horse. And Prince Louis is like, I don't know. Seems fine if she wants to ride a horse. I mean, I ride a horse, whatever. And she's like, oh yeah, don't worry. Like, Oscar and Andre will be there. It's cool. I think it's very interesting that everybody knows Andre. They're like, oh yeah, it's Andre.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, he's like the stable hand or whatever, but I'm assuming maybe it's a more like head of horses for the Royal Guard maybe or something.
I'm assuming. It's kind of weird because he's like both Oscar's like attendant.
Yeah.
And also does all the, he's like hanging out in the stable all the time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
It can be dangerous to ride a horse. Like I was saying earlier, the actor for Superman from the 70s, like, had an incident and he was like paralyzed for the rest of his life. If I was that horse and I had to hear her chuckling on me, I would go into a rampage as well. Like, ugh, that laugh. But I don't know. They're just like powerful and flighty animals sometimes.
But what I'm saying is that you can learn how to ride a horse in a way that isn't that dangerous. They're going to make a huge mistake right here. And I can tell you what the mistake is because it's obvious. Like, there are ways to teach someone to ride a horse that are not particularly dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like driving a car, right? Like, I can teach you how to drive a car in a parking lot and it's not dangerous. Driving out on the road every day can be dangerous over a long period of time.
Yeah. Well,
so she just wants to ride a horse one time. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Okay, well, it's also like, why is Madame Dewberry riding? I was surprised this wasn't some scheme to be like, let me show what I'm allowed to do that Marie Antoinette is. And then Duke Orleans being like, let me interfere. And then we fail again.
I bet Dewberry knows that Marie wants to ride a horse. She's like, we're just going riding every day. We're just circling the fucking lot every day. So that one day Marie will see us and be incensed.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Okay, continue.
That's for sure what's happening.
Good Lord.
Oh, it's like... it's like, imagine like your rival doesn't know how to drive. It's like, we're circling their house. We're just going around the block every day to see so they can see me driving, having a great time.
Yeah.
So yes. Good.
We're going to insert that as the motivation there.
So later, it turns out Marie has gotten permission from Prince Louis to ride a horse. Marie has brought a white horse, a gift from the prince. She's amazed and the crowd gossips about whether or not Marie will really be able to ride. Apparently, Prince Louis got her a wild horse to match her wild spirit. This is the problem.
Oh, did they say
that? Give a new yes.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Because they're like, okay, yeah, they're like, oh, this is like a white horse. This is like a wild horse. And Prince Louis is like, it'll match her spirit. I'm like, this is the problem. If she rode like Oscar's horse wouldn't freak out. You know what
also
I mean?
White.
Like when I learned to ride a horse, I rode a horse that like, you know, had new riders every day. So it's just like, whatever. You need to ride a chill horse. Don't ride a new horse.
Yeah, that's dumb. Well, you think he actually selected this horse? I mean, it makes sense to why a bad decision was made. But also, it's like, I can't believe that he could be bothered to go and pick the horse or that I mean, it would make sense that he wouldn't know anything because he just got bucked off his horse like two episodes ago.
Well, that's because a fox jumped at it. But yeah. I think this is like, this really seems like someone was like, he's like, bring my wife a brand new horse. And someone's like, well, we have this one. It's very pretty, but it's like kind of new. It's kind of wild. I mean, he's like, perfect. It matches her spirit. I think that's about the level of thinking here.
Okay.
She should have just rode his horse. She should have just rode Oscar's horse.
It looks the same.
I'm sure they have like hundreds of horses that are just get rode all the time and are really chill that Andre could have brought. But because it's not like a beautiful horse for her to ride, they didn't do it because
sparkling like crazy, like a diamond.
Because like she gets on this thing and like Andre is like notably kind of worried about it.
Yes. Yes. Trying to talk to her. Listen to me. You idiot. Like you're on the horse now. Listen. And just very dismissive.
Yeah, Marie gets on the horse, but is not good at following directions. Andre and Oscar try to give her like directions on what to do, like to hold the reins and not kick the horse. But she doesn't really like get it that much. Suddenly the horse bucks and then just takes off and drags Andre, who's holding onto the reins, like on the dirt as it goes. Oscar mounts in pursuit. Eventually the reins snap and Andre is left in the dust as it like pulled him a significant distance. Oscar's like, dude, you gotta let go. And he's like, I can't let go. But that gets taken care of. Marie's horse is still galloping at full speed, with Marie like hanging on to it. Oscar pursues, but can't quite catch up because that horse is quick. It turns out that the route they're on is just like a straight line into the canal. So they need to like get her off the horse or they'll both fall into the canal. I have a point to make about this in a second. Oscar's able to catch up, and then she dramatically dives off of her horse to catch Marie and like dive into the forest right next to them before they're thrown off and both horses jump into the canal. They tumble to the ground and Oscar shields her.
But is this where we're like a water landing would have been smoother?
I feel like landing in the water wouldn't have been that bad.
It wasn't that deep. The horse is going to immediately have to calm itself down to swim. It would have been fine. Unless she can't swim, which seems likely. But also Oscar would have been there to jump in.
Yeah, because like both horses jump in like it's no big deal. So clearly they're not that scared of it. I don't know. It seems like just landing in the water wouldn't have been that big of a deal.
Nope.
It certainly seems less dangerous than like diving into the onto the ground at full horse speed, which is probably like, I don't know, how fast do horses go?
Like
30 miles an hour or something.
Yeah, let's sure. Yeah.
How fast is a horse?
I mean, it depends for how long they were going. Probably not that fast, but
Horses can run at an average speed of 25 to 30 miles per hour, with the fastest breed of the quarter horse recorded speeds up to 57.9 miles per hour. So it's probably like 30. I feel like if you jump out of a car at 30 miles per hour, that's like probably more dangerous than falling into water.
Yeah.
Especially if the horse is going to break the water in front of you.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't know. Concur. What do I know? Maybe that would have been like insta death.
Her dress would have been ruined. I don't know horse mechanics.
Yeah,
she would have drowned with a heavy ass dress.
Let's see. So they get up from the ground. Marie's passed out, but otherwise seems okay. Oscar has been stabbed with a branch in the arm, which she pulls out right there, which, like, you shouldn't do
the
that.
First
Oscar,
time we're
you're going to start bleeding out.
Blood, it feels like. Even though there's been many stabbings, and we haven't seen that much, like, blood, we're seeing now.
If you've been stabbed with an object, and you are not in a position to stop the bleeding,
immediately,
you should just leave it in there for a little bit.
Well, I'm assuming medical knowledge at the time that's did true. Not advise that slash was Oscar now. I don't know. It's probably very, well, it's like, ew, gross, this thing in me. The immediate reaction would be like, get the gross, the like thing that's stabbing me out of me, I would assume. But you would think someone who like was trained in combat would know better practices for dealing with injury.
Yeah. But it's like, if you get shot with an arrow, you want to leave the arrow in until you can take it out in a way that you won't bleed out.
Or if she had to carry Marie Antoinette, she just would have been stabbed with that
it's
stick.
It's also more
in her
dramatic
arm.
To pull it out.
Yeah.
You gotta think about
the
drama.
She loves to be dramatic, yes.
Yeah. Oscar carries Marie back to the palace. We cut to Marie lying in bed. She's still passed out. Oscar curses herself. Also, she's just standing there in the room and hasn't been treating and is still bleeding everywhere. But nobody notices. We cut to King Louis. He demands to know the one responsible for Marie's injury and orders him to be arrested and brought to him for judgment. Ghirardelli delivers the news to Oscar that Andre has been arrested and she is enraged. She's like, how could this happen? We cut to Andre standing before the king in the court. King Louis accuses Andre of injuring the princess. He says he's responsible even if it was an accident. Just then, Oscar bursts through the doors. King Louis orders his guard to throw Andre into the dungeon, but when Oscar suddenly appears, she tells the king to wait. She calls out all of the witnesses that were there. You know, Prince Louis, who's in the room and hasn't said anything. Countess Knowles, Count Mercy and Fersen, all of them. They were all there. They saw what happened. It wasn't Andre's fault. She draws her sword and says that she formally requests for a trial. And as Andre's masker, his crimes are also hers. So if you take his life, you'll have to take hers first. Everybody is impressed at this display. Fersen steps out and comes to Oscar's aid immediately. He vouches for Andre and Oscar is amazed that he'd stick his neck out for them, considering he has no position on the court. Suddenly, Marie appears. She's better now, and she begs the king not to punish anybody because it was her fault. She tells Andre, Oscar, and Fersen that it'll be fine. It's nobody's fault. You guys should just leave. And King Louis says that if it's what Marie wants, he'll let it go. And then he tells Andre to remember that he is a good master. Oscar thinks about how she's indebted to Fersen now for, like, helping them out. And then suddenly she, like, is about to stand up, but then passes out because she's been bleeding everywhere because she never got her wound treated. And everyone's like, oh, shit, Oscar passed out. We cut to Oscar lying in a sickbed. Granny is there and she prays for Oscar's recovery. Andre begs the doctor to save her and he says he'll do his best. And Andre is like, dear God, this is all my fault. And Fersen comforts him. He's like, listen, man, you couldn't have known this was going to happen. The doctor requests that Granny take off Oscar's shirt and she tells Andre to take Fersen outside. And Fersen's like, why? Like, we're all men here. Who cares? And Granny's like, how dare you say that about our lady? Outside, Fersen is like, wait a minute, hold on, all right, wait, Oscar's a woman? And Andre tells him that Oscar was raised as a man and lives as a man and will continue to be a man. And he runs off to the stable in grief over what has happened.
Yeah.
Fersen thinks to himself, he's like, hold on, if Oscar's a woman, that's why she was so thin and like nimble. I always thought that was weird, but I never like, man, that's weird. Also, that's but so then he also cool. thinks...
How long what? Has he been seeing Marie Antoinette? Surely this will have come up by some point.
Oscar, he's like, Oscar really is a man among men, though. I mean, Andre's right about that. Jumping into the fray and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Yes. The fact that Fersen is like held up as like this guy who's very observant, understands that like rebellion's in the wings. And then he's just like, what do you mean Oscar is a woman?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So funny.
So how convincing the act is on Oscar's behalf.
I'm guessing that Fursten does not pay that much attention to Oscar. I think he's maybe looking at someone else.
Blinders. Yep. That's got to be it. But now that he knows, is it going to be a love triangle? No, probably not.
Anything could happen.
Oscar is dashing and a lot less annoying than Marie Antoinette. But I guess that's like the annoyingness is what they've been taught they like in a woman. So he'll just be like, oh, Oscar's weird. And not.
She is also the future Oscar's queen of hot. France. I don't think we should ignore that part. Pretty important. Later that day, General Jarjaes goes to see Oscar. He tells the doctor that she lost, or the doctor tells him that she lost a lot of blood and is pretty banged up. But like, as long as she wakes back up, she should be fine. General Jarjaes tells Oscar that he's proud of her for being so heroic. Later that night, Andre and Granny are both waiting at her bed. Andre thinks about how he's ashamed for ever doubting her and thinks back about his nightmare earlier and realizes that Oscar would never abandon him. We get some flashbacks of Oscar and Andre playing as kids with swords and riding horses and like just kind of hanging out. And it's like done in this cool way. I really like these flashback sequences. The flashback ends and Oscar wakes up. Andre and Granny are really relieved and Oscar tells Andre that those flashbacks were her dreams. She's like, I dreamed that stuff happened. Remember that? It's the next morning and Fursten, the general, Andre and Granny are all in Oscar's room. Fursten tells Oscar that she has good luck, that she recovered so well. And Oscar's like, yeah, it worked out. And then she turns to Andre and she jokes that he's probably the only person to have ever injured a royal and still have his head. And everybody has a big laugh about it. Andre thinks about how someday he'll give his life for Oscar as she just did for him as we cut to credits.
With tears that are swimming like crazy in his eyes without spilling. It's wild.
He's so going through it.
Yeah.
There's he can't so fall many. In love with his superior and also somebody who's supposed to be a man. He can't do it.
That's disrespecting Oscar that you know by thinking of her that way. She'd be pissed if he ever like confessed or something.
Would she? Do you think she would?
Yeah, I think she would. She'd anything be like, stop looking at me with your lecherous eyes. I'm a man.
Maybe. But it's Andre.
And then I'm sure she hates. We hate merchants, let alone what does she think about, like, say, if she sees herself as a man and he's a man and he thinks of her, who's a man romantically. I'm sure that won't go well in her. Antiquated eyes either.
Well, I don't know. This is the thing. We get very little of Oscar's interiority, right?
No.
So I think this, I mean, I really feel for Andre here because if you're in this position, this is like the worst possible position you could be in, right? Because it's like Oscar's going to the mat for you, right? She's like, oh, you'd have to kill me before you get to Andre. And you're like, shit. Mm-hmm. But also, this is your boss. And also, you're not supposed to look at them like that, even if they weren't your boss. And also, they're like really pretty and like, aren't they so great? Don't we just love them? It's weird that you're like obsessed with Marie Antoinette, but whatever, I guess. I guess it's your job. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Also, this Fursten guy is here. What's his deal?
Mm-hmm.
I feel for Andre. It's rough
this
time.
This is the
for
most
him.
Like distant protagonist we've ever had. It's quite the interesting dynamic we have with Oscar as an audience. Like, I have no idea how this is gonna go.
Yeah, well, so far everything Oscar, she's like performing all the time, right?
Yes.
Like she's being like the noble hero, like a heroic type, right? Which everybody loves, but it's like that you can't be like that all the time. Every time we've seen her opinion about something, it's about how like she doesn't like how
the honor.
Nobles are like debaucherous and dishonorable and stuff like that, which is like gonna be really put to the test next episode.
Yeah,
and like there's just no way you can maintain that for a long time. Yeah, some of us will find out. And so I'm really wondering where Oscar is.
Yeah, if we're gonna have an episode where it's like a conflict with internal conflict, and if we actually get to hear what that conflict is or not.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like and then in episode 7, she's constantly falling asleep because she's super bored because her job is incredibly boring.
You don't think you're reading into the falling asleep thing like that's what's happening?
I mean, I think it's boring. I think she is boring. Well, I think it's the fact that she just watches Marie Antoinette all the time and doesn't really have much else to do. Like, that can't be fulfilling particularly. Like, she doesn't have anything going on in her life, I think, is what's
It's about to get crazy in a couple, like, another decade. Yeah,
I think she's about to be real busy.
Yes.
But I think up to this point, it's like, you're just hanging out here with this job. You're having to hang out with all these royals. You don't really like them that much. I mean, she likes Marie, and she likes Fersen because he, you know, stuck his neck out for her. But doesn't like the court.
Nope.
Doesn't like getting involved in any of their stuff. She wants to kind of stay out of it and just like keep her head down a little bit. So it's been interesting. I mean, next episode, we're going to get to a point where she can't do that anymore.
Because right at the very beginning of the show, it's like, oh, I don't want to be in charge of the military, the royal guard. What do you think Oscar wanted to do?
Well, I don't think she didn't want to be in charge of the royal guard. I don't think she wanted to guard Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like her dad's a general. And that means that he is in like the army and doing army stuff and like war stuff. She is the head of the Royal Guard. This means she spends most of her time basically doing nothing.
Babysitting. Yeah.
Yeah. Which like is a high honorable position, right? Like it gives you a lot of sway and things like that. But Oscar doesn't really have any interest in career climbing in that way.
I would think it would have been for someone like older who'd already done all the exciting stuff. Like, and they were now going to settle down by doing that because it's an honor to them. And then it's like, oh, this, you know, well-decorated person now gets to protect this important, you know, princess. Okay, why don't you tell me about what happened? I know we talk about the sunsets and sunrises as far as, like, who are we betting on kind of thing, but I am going to be super paying attention to every word, so let's hear it.
Episode 9 is called The Sun Sets, The Sun Rises. I'm going to be paying attention to every word as you walk away.
I'm listening.
We open on Madame Dewberry receiving an enormous necklace from the king. All of her ladies fawn over it, and she tells one of her crew that she talked to the king and got her husband promoted, like the lady that she's talking to commander of the guards. They're like having a little laugh about it and being celebratory when suddenly General Georges bursts in. He tells them all that the king has collapsed as the OP plays. A voiceover tells us when we return that it's April 27th, 1774. King Louis has collapsed suddenly while hunting. He was examined by a huge number of doctors, but they haven't quite figured out what's going on. We see King Louis and he's in a bad way. He's just lying in bed looking real rough. Dewberry comes in and tells him that he has to hang in there because but things are looking bad. Dewberry wonders what'll happen to her if the king dies, because she has a lot of things she still wants to do. He can't die now. That selfish bastard. Later that evening, Oscar is looking out the window towards Versailles. Andre comes in and comforts her that the king will make a recovery. He'll be fine, but Oscar does not seem that convinced. We cut to a meeting of a bunch of doctors. They have no idea what's wrong with King Louis. One of their attendants comes to, like, blow out the candles right next to him and looks at Louis and sees that he's developed spots. The doctors recognize this as smallpox, a very deadly illness. It's the next morning. Prince Louis and Marie are told that the king has smallpox and they need to shelter as far away as possible from the king to prevent it from spreading. At this point, I need to make a correction about the family tree. Because King Louis the 15th is Prince Louis's grandfather. So he had a kid. He had two sons. One of them died during childhood and the other died at age 36 to tuberculosis. The aunts are his daughters from before. So that's what's going on. And his son is King, or like his son's son, his grandson is King Louis there, or will be King Louis the 16th.
Okay.
That's what's going on there. That's why Prince Louis is only 18. While the king is like 65.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We cut to Oscar overhearing the nobles at court gossiping about how they should, about what they should do if the king dies. Cause they're like, well, we have to, like, we want to get in good graces with the prince, but if we do that now, it'll be really awkward. Cause clearly we're just doing that cause the king's dying. They're all nervous about the uncertainty of his recovery. And some of them even say that it would be easier if he would just hurry up and die already. Oscar is incensed that they don't have loyalty to the king, and that they'd be playing politics at a time like this. She like glares at all of them and they're all like, oh, Oscar's mad. We cut to Prince Louis and Marie. Marie goes to comfort Louis, who does not seem to be handling things well. We cut to Oscar drilling some soldiers. Ghirardelle's like, what? Why is this happening? I'm supposed to be drilling the soldiers. Why is she doing this? Andre tells him that Oscar is just anxious and can't sit still and feels like she needs to do something. So just let her do this. Suddenly, an attendant gets Oscar's attention. The attendant tells her that Madame Dewberry wants to speak with her, and Oscar decides to go.
Oh, what's gonna happen?
In Dewberry's apartment, she's getting drunk on wine. Oscar shows up, and Dewberry tells her that she wants Oscar to help her get into Marie's good graces before it's too late. And Oscar just kind of looks at her and says that she can't help her because it's too late. Dewberry?
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. Dewberry's like, come on, there has to be something we can do. Like, you got to be able to have something that can help me. But Oscar refuses. Dewberry pulls a knife and points it at Oscar and tells her that she has to help her. But Oscar is not impressed and steps into the tip of the blade so that it cuts her cheek. This freaks Dewberry out and she drops the knife and Oscar leaves without saying anything. Ew. Real desperation hours.
Not that pretty face.
Yeah. She's like, you know, I might be able to like kill you, but I can like scratch you up and that'll look bad. And Oscar's like, I literally do not care about this at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Later, we see an attendant go see Duke Orleon at his residence to request an audience. The Duke refuses and thinks to himself that a mistress of a dead king has no use anymore. Outside his residence, Dewberry bangs on the doors to no avail. She decides that it's not over and rides back to Versailles. Everybody's waiting around for the king to die. Oscar sees Dewberry beg the doctors to do something, but after 10 days, they have decided that there's nothing they can do and they all just give up. Dewberry goes to the bedside of the dying king. She tells him that he can't die, and he is like the sun to her that shines down and allows her to bloom. Later that night, he says that it's going to be over soon, he's going to die, and he wants to see a bishop for his last rites. The bishop shows up and says that if King Louis truly wants to be forgiven and led into heaven, then he needs to banish his mistress from the palace, which is an affront to God. We see Meng drag Dewberry off as she begs them to stay.
Oh, snap.
We cut to Marie and Prince Louis. Louis freaked out over having to become king at just 19 because he's not ready for that at all. Outside the king's room, all the nobles are annoyed that it's taking so long for him to die. They're like, come on, man. He did his last rites like so long ago and he's still alive. Eventually, the signal is given that he has died, and they all eagerly rush to break the news to Louis and Marie. Oscar and Ghirardelle are standing outside of Louis and Marie's, like, room, and they see a bunch of nobles, like, rushing at them, and they're all confused. The nobles burst into the room, and Madame Noelle's, smiles, tells Marie and Louis that the king is dead while smiling. They're horrified, but then Noelle's takes Marie's hand, bows down, and then congratulates her on becoming the Queen of France. And Marie is still shocked that the king is dead. She's like, my granddad just died. What are you saying? The nobility all cheer for the new king and queen, while Louis and Marie are, like, cowering on the floor together.
They're in the hallway.
Yeah, this is an incredible sequence. I loved this sequence.
Okay.
In the hallway, Oscar is in disbelief that the nobility would act this way. They all cheer for the new king and queen, and none of them have even paid respects to the one that just died, like literally right now. Ghirardelle laughs. He comments that now that there's a new king, these people only care about kissing up to them. He says this is a quote. The sun sets, the sun rises. Those who prosper will one day perish. Without a new sun to bask in, people cannot live. Oscar looks on stoically and decides to leave. She exits the palace and overhears a commotion. Some guards are dragging Dewberry into a carriage, but she's resisting. One of them strikes her with a whip and tells her that she's just a commoner now. Oscar pulls out her sword and slashes the man in the back, which also cuts his whip. He's fine, though, so it seems like mostly just snatched his uniform. She tells him that she's going to handle this and they can just leave. Oscar insists on escorting Dewberry out of Paris as on the pretense that there have been some threats of violence against her so that she's going to escort them. They leave together, so Dewberry's in a carriage and Oscar is on her horse kind of right next to her. After a while, Dewberry comments that they're clear of Versailles and that nothing has happened. And she's like, you just made that up. Like that threat up, Oscar. You just didn't want to stay there at the palace. Oscar does not respond. Dewberry continues saying that Oscar probably doesn't know how hard it is to live in the streets. She's like, you probably never had to like hustle for bread or anything, huh? Dewberry says that she had to do many things to survive and had never once had the luxury of thinking about the morality of any of it. Eventually she like made her way into becoming a noble and went up from, you know, just wanting to eat some bread and make ends meet to wanting riches. Kind of weird in retrospect how that all worked out, huh? But she says that at the end of the day, she has no regrets about the life she lived. She made the best life that she could for herself, and I guess that's all there is to it. After a certain point, Dewberry stops her carriage. She tells Oscar that this is far enough and Oscar can go back. She thanks Oscar for listening to her and says that she hasn't been this candid since she lost her mother at the age of 5. She says that she may be old now, but there's still time for her. She'll bloom once again and declares that she's going to make a new start as she rides off into the sunset. A voiceover tells us that that's the last we're going to see of Dewberry, who made her way up to the king and gave Marie Antoinette so much trouble. Eventually, it says that she'll be killed in 1793 and by guillotine in the revolution. So we know what her fate's going to be. We get one final scene of Oscar in a funeral procession for the king. There were only 76 troops guarding the coffin and nobody else was in the procession. Oscar thought to herself about the unyielding flow of human history and weeps as we cut to credits.
Oh, Oscar cries?
What?
Oscar cries?
Yeah, you're cutting out, so I can't really hear you.
Oscar cries.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
At the end of the episode.
I'm excited to see and watch it now. It sounds exciting. I can't believe I missed it.
This is like an incredible sequence. The sequence of the king dying, all the nobles like eagerly rushing to tell Louis and Marie that the king is dead and then congratulate them on becoming the new king and queen after their granddad just died is incredible.
Dang. Okay. Well, now what do we... So there's probably going to be another time skip.
Yeah.
Where it's... Oh, God. What do we think's going to happen?
We're done with Dewberry.
Things are going to get extra... I guess that's why our... Jean, whatever her name is... Mm-hmm. brought on. She's behind the scenes getting all trained up to be fancy, and then she'll replace her as antagonist, maybe.
Yeah, it seems like maybe that's gonna happen.
That's what I'm guessing will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's gotta give her a hard time, even if she's queen now. We think that's still gonna be the case, or is she gonna try to get mistress? Way harder
now that she's queen. Yeah.
Oh,
this is an incredible episode.
Oh, I'm excited to watch it now.
Like, Oscar's horrified that all of the nobles are acting this way, and Ghirardelle just laughing and being like, yeah, it's just how it is. Like, these people don't give a shit about the king as a person, as like a human being. He's the son to them. They just need him to grow their plants. And as soon as he dies, they just need a new one. They don't care. None of these people care about each other.
Yeah. It's a freaking bummer. Okay, so do we think Oscar
can't handle it?
Yeah, it's going to have like a change of attitude or like want different things or be worried that the same thing. Okay, I just had a lisp right there. Now I go, do I have a lisp sometimes?
No, you don't have a lisp.
Okay, that Oscar's gonna be worried the same fate is gonna befall Marie Antoinette. She cares about her, so is she gonna try to make her more likable to like more people? Or I'll be interested.
I don't think she has a plan here. I think this is just more of a shock to her, because like clearly Oscar likes people, you know what I mean? Like she appreciates people, like as people she like gives everybody respect. She doesn't just use anybody. She hates it when other people do that, right? That's which is why like she's like willing to go to the mat for Oscar, for Andre last episode. In this episode she like goes and helps out Dewberry, who has like tried multiple times to get her killed because she just kind of feels bad for her. Like Oscar clearly likes people, and that like runs in the face of how everything at Versailles runs, which is all just everybody's used as a tool for some other means, right?
Yeah.
And like true. She's the only one who doesn't seem to like fully like accept that that's true. Like we've seen before that Andre just kind of laughs about how like everybody's just scheming politically for all these things, and Oscar doesn't want to accept that. Here Ghirardelle laughs and is like, yeah, of course, that like they don't give a shit about the king as a person. Like none of them care. They've never cared. So it seems like everybody around her is like willing to accept this, and she is like unwilling to accept this. And I think part of the reason that's why she likes Marie Antoinette so much is because Marie does care about people and does care about like morals and things like that, which is closer to what Oscar wants, how Oscar wants the world to work, than anybody else there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this episode's really good in that way.
Yeah. Oh man. So you think it's good? They're like power couple, right? They're gonna be the best king and queen France has ever seen.
Oh yeah. They definitely aren't gonna fumble the bag.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it's gonna just keep getting worse from here. This send off of Dewberry is also good. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Mine was going to be a guess of something, but continue talking about what actually happened in the episode.
Yeah, well, I like the send-off of Dewberry, of being like, of her just being like, yeah, I had to do like a bunch of shady stuff and like a lot of underhanded methods, but like I literally had to do that to survive. Like I lost my mom when I was 5. You know what I mean? It's like, you probably think that this, like, I'm a terrible person. And like, to be fair, I kind of was a terrible person, but also it was this or nothing. So,
yeah.
End up being very sympathetic to her in the end, even though she was ridiculous
up to this point. I don't hear her calling one a redhead that isn't a redhead anymore.
Yep.
Does Marie Antoinette and Louis 16 have children at any point? Well, they are both still kicking.
Yeah, I mean, they die when they're 35, so I think they probably do. Let me look that up.
Finally consummate that marriage. Long time coming.
Yes. She had 4 children. Two of them died during childhood, and one of them lives to be King Louis the 17th.
Okay. I was going to say, 4 kids, and that's surely going to stop popping those out soon. And, well, I wonder if that'll be shown at all, right? Because they will be significantly older by the time this all goes down. So I'm guessing they must have the kids at some point and show them.
And she has one daughter that also marries somebody.
Okay.
So they have 2 kids that make it. One of them dies of age 7 of tuberculosis. Another one dies after 11 months.
Okay. Dang.
Of convulsions.
Interesting to see how much of that the show shows.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure like we'll get motherhood is not something we see with shoujo protagonists ever. So,
That'll be interesting. Yeah, that'll be interesting. I know that we get like pretty into the revolution. Like I was just looking at the like top cast or whatever, and we do get Robespierre. So that's a person who like would only come up like pretty decently into the revolution. So we get like all the way up to the end.
Okay, cool. Okay, so that was episode 9. And sorry, there's 40, 50?
There's 40 episodes.
40 episodes. Okay. So we're a quarter of the way, basically.
So how are you liking it so far?
Lots to happen. I'm liking it. It is definitely interesting because so many... Well, I guess we're seeing someone who's been the main antagonist up to this point is now gone from the show. So I guess there's just going to be a lot of change in cast and arcs. So that'll be interesting. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was surprised because when we first watched those couple episodes, right, it did really seem like it's going to be more of a
Oscar gender thing.
No, I thought it was going to be a lot more of like, this week Duke Orleans has a new scheme and let's see how Oscar defeats it or whatever, right? Like I thought it was going to be much more of like a, you know, episodic TV show cartoony, about Oscar thwarting things, right? But really, it's been much more like I can really tell how this started off as a biography of Marie Antoinette, because it really is just like we're just jumping through time, through things that happened in significant events to like show off the decline of France, of the France nobility mostly, and like the lead up to the revolution. Because again, all of this does feel like it's leading up to the revolution.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of foreshadowing. And I guess it's mostly like, oh, I can see how it was definitely intended for Marie Antoinette to be the main protagonist. And so it's an interesting having Oscar be the protagonist instead, because it doesn't feel like we get that much time with Oscar for Oscar being the main protagonist. So hopefully that changes, or as it gets more like, I guess, revolutionary and it's going to fall into her skill set more than all this like palace politics stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is much more like setup, and I think that I'm guessing because, you know, 40 episodes is quite some time. We can't be jumping through history as much as we are now, right? So I think we'll get more interiority. Also, we know that it's like later on is when the story became more about Oscar. But everything up to this point, really, just like the episode where she falls from the horse and Andre goes on trial is like showing off that the nobility just blame people for stuff in a very unjust manner, right?
Yeah.
You know, the first, you know, the first episode with Fursen just kind of shows like that, like the love lives and intrigue can cause problems for different people. And like, you know, again, gets people killed in the same way that the like rivalry between Dewberry and Marie did. And so like all of this stuff feels like you're setting up the decline of the nobility in France.
Yeah.
But I do think it is also setting up Oscar to be like really conflicted about the stuff that's been going on and like her position in the government. Right. Cause it's like, she's party to all this stuff that she doesn't like and doesn't think is good. And she like, you know, goes up against it. Right. Like she goes and vouches for Andre, which is more than anybody else was doing. Right. Even Prince Louis, who was there, who could have stopped this, just didn't do anything. Because everybody is so worried about like their position, their own personal position. So I'll be interested to see how Oscar reacts to the revolution, because I'm guessing she's going to agree with most of it at the very beginning, at least.
Yeah. And then the like clash of agreeing with the reasons of the people versus her role of protecting the person that they're rebelling against.
Yeah. Like her personal beliefs are totally in conflict with what her position in the hierarchy is.
Yeah. I wonder if Duke Orléans is going to like now be in Louis 16's ear, just like directing everything through him. Kind of. He's his cousin.
Yeah, it's his cousin. Yeah. I'm really interested to see how King Louis now King Louis the 16th is going to govern.
So is he the son of one of the aunties that we don't like? Who is his parents?
Yeah. Let me look at that.
Yeah, because I feel like he could very easily just get what he wants through Louis.
I was thinking about Louis Philippe II. His father, different Louis. Okay. So
give it to us.
Louis Philippe. God, AKA everyone's named fucking Louis.
Duke Orléans. So yeah.
Right, again, because Duke Orléans is kind of like two different guys, right? It's like both his, both the father and the son.
Yeah.
So they had, so King Louis, God, this is fucking confusing. So King Louis the 14th was the king of France from 1643 until his death in 1715. His mom was the daughter of the Duke of Orléans.
Okay.
That family is who took over the royal line after the Vaudelis people died off. Because they were like a distant relative. And Philippe II was the son of Louis. So it's like several degrees of separation. Oh, my God. Never mind.
Okay.
One of them repeats because there's incest. Okay.
okay. Never mind. I need to
look at the hold on.
Loosely.
You talk while I look this up.
Cousin. Bourbon the fifth cousin or
family tree. Let me look at the Bourbon family tree. You look this up. This we need take like a
little anime graphic. Why can't the show explain this to us?
Because I think it's going to be impossible to parse. Let me see. House of the Bourbon family tree. Useful charts.
Complicated. What? Give people different names. My God. Louis's not that good of a name. Sorry. Ugh. At least Marie Antoinette. It's like Marie and then Marie Teresa. At least there's some difference between them.
Oh, fuck. They're talking about the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies. Oh, no.
Okay, this is too much. Okay, whatever. they're related somehow, apparently.
Shit. Okay, so the House of Bourbon... also had some claims on Spain. What?
We're gonna scratch that question. This is it's too deep. We can't go that deep.
I'll be able to figure this. Oh my God, this tree goes back to 1200s. All right.
Okay. Joe's gonna research this, recap it, and we'll get an update next episode. Maybe find out the relation somehow. Oh my God. Goodness gracious. Okay. See, look. So stuff. Things. Anyways.
There's another Maria Teresa also on the bourbon side. Everybody, they need more names. You ran out of names. You guys fucked up. Yeah. You needed more names than this. This is bullshit.
I guess because just each individual doesn't matter that much. They don't need different names. Okay, Joe. We gotta drop it. We gotta move on.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. All right. I got it.
Okay. Let's see.
The King of France, Louis XIII, in 1610 to 1643, had two kids. One of them was Louis XIV, who would go on to be the King of France. And the other one is Philippe I, who became the first Duke or became the Duke of Orléans. That's where it splits. And we go all the way down. And it turns out that some guy had a kid in the Bourbon family that went on to be the King of Spain. That was confusing. This is the thing that confused me anyway. But then Louis XV is the King of France.
One who just got and smallpox. His yeah.
One, two, three. Four times removed cousin is the Duke of Orléans.
Okay.
So it's four, or I guess five. Actually, I guess it's six for King Louis the 16th, right? Because his dad and then him. Uh-huh. Six time removed is the cousin.
Gotcha. Okay.
And also they're related to the King of Spain, who is his one, two, three. Three times removed cousin.
So three times removed. Is that the same as third cousin?
I that don't phrasing? Know. Okay. Removed is just like how many lines cousins, up, really. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. No, sorry. No, my family tree is so like, well, you know, who knows? I never pay attention to these kind of things.
So it's a third cousin.
Okay.
Oh no, once removed. Okay. Oh my god. Okay, I'm sorry, I said this wrong. So he is not his six times removed, he's his sixth cousin. You're removed if you're one generation up. So the Duke Orléans in this is, I think, a generation above Louis the 16th. So he would be his sixth cousin once removed. This is fun. Is this like fun that we're doing this?
I'm sure the people are riveted.
Oh, wait, is that even right?
Okay, see, Joe, okay.
That may not be right.
We're done here.
Okay. No. I got it. It's his fifth cousin. No, that's weird. Yeah, no, it's his fifth cousin once removed. Because it follows like a diagonal. Like if you imagine a matrix, I'm looking at this picture right now. I want you to imagine a matrix and I want you to imagine you move laterally. So if you move one step to the right, you become the first cousin. If you move two steps, you're the second cousin, right? So that's that way. If you move up and up one, you're the first cousin once removed. So it's one less than the column that you're in, but you add a removed to it. So is that, does that clear it up?
No. Math.
Is that, has all of this become clear? Hopefully thank you for joining us, audience, for this section where I try to figure out how the hell you describe dumb family tree stuff that nobody should ever care about.
Sorry. Anyway, that question my part.
They're more closely related to the kings of Spain right now. Just know that. I don't know if that's ever relevant. What the hell is Parma? Who's the Duke of Parma? Anyway, I don't know. Medieval royalty.
Don't worry about it. Crazy.
European royal lines are trash, and I hate them. And I'm glad we don't have to think about them anymore.
Okay. Never ask again. Okay. Cool. Thank you for that insight, Joe. Much appreciated. Oh my God.
Do you want to know what the current lineage of...
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Guess what the current line of a bourbon who comes from the Spain branch, guess what his name is, who would be the Duke of Burgundy, Dauphin of France right now? Who do you think that is? What do you think his name is? What do you think his first name is? Of course it's Louis. These motherfuckers can't think of another goddamn name. I hate these guys.
That's not a good name.
He has a rightful claim to the defunct throne of France under the name Louis the 20th. Awful. Awful. I hate it.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
I can't wait for the revelation.
Joe worked so hard to get that info for us, we should thank him with...
I hope you enjoyed 15 minutes of me talking about this stuff. Leave a comment if any of that I said was right on Apple Podcasts while you're rating us 5 stars. Remember to rate us 5 stars. That's the important part of that thing. This guy is not very attractive.
No, I can't imagine so.
40,
especially if we have incest games sprinkled in there.
That's true. That's true. He probably sucks because he's a rich guy. Anyway, I shouldn't speculate about the illegitimate king of France.
Alleged.
Alleged.
Opinions.
They call it the legitimist pretender. That's the title on Wikipedia, which is an incredible title.
Dang.
It's like, oh yeah, this loser thinks they should be king. Anyway.
Dang.
Rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment. Thank you so much for doing that. Please tell your friends. This is a good, if they want to learn about how to describe family trees on an audio podcast.
This is the go-to.
This is a good way of doing that. uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah,
please do that.
Remember, give your children different names.
please, God, please name your kids different things. Don't just keep naming them Louis. Don't just keep naming them Philippe. There are other names in those two things. Also, we have enough Charleses. We don't need any more of those motherfuckers. We're done with that, okay?
That's right.
Yeah.
A lot more Jaws. Woo!
Yeah, we're, we can do some other stuff. Dear God.
Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Thank you for listening and learning along with us. And I promise I'm going to watch all the episodes next time. That was a oopsie on my part. I must have got distracted by a nap or something. It tends to happen. We are trucking along. Let us know what other bonus episodes you want. I know my mom finally is listening to a podcast again now that we did a Jurassic Park bonus episode. giving the people what they want. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah.
With a correction corner, possibly. If Joe didn't nail this and someone cares enough to say something.
Yeah. So we'll see. We shall see.
Yep. Yep. All right. Bye.
See you later.